This morning we'd like to draw your attention to the 39th verse of chapter 10, where Jesus sets forth an interesting principle. There are spiritual laws that are operative in our lives that are just as real and positive in their cause and effect as are the natural laws of nature that we have been able to observe. Now, there are what we call the laws of nature. We have observed them. We know that they work, though we may not understand the principles behind the laws, or we may not understand just how they work. We know they work. Now, I am familiar with the law of gravity. How the law of gravity works, I don't know. I am familiar with the law of magnetism, the attraction of opposite poles and the retraction of similar poles. I know that that happens. How it happens, why it happens, I don't know. I'm just familiar with it, and I know that it works. I understand a little of the laws of electricity. I understand that there are certain laws. How they function, and just, I'm not certain, I don't know. Many of the natural laws, if you seek to explain them, become sort of mysteries to the mind. We just observe them, we sort of codify them and accept them, and we live by them. Now, there are also spiritual laws, and we do not always understand how they work. But we know that they are there. We learn to observe them, and it is wise if we learn to keep them. Now, there is a spiritual law that was elucidated by Jesus, and it was given, it shall be given unto you, measured out, pressed down, running over. And the spiritual law is the more you give, the more you receive. Now, that seems sort of paradoxical to me. I can't quite understand that. And yet, Paul put it in such a way as I do begin to comprehend it. For he talked about sowing seed. If you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. Scatter just a few seeds and you'll get a few blades of grass. Scatter an abundance of seed, you'll get a thick green carpet of grass. I can understand that way. The more you scatter, the more you're going to get in results from it. So, Jesus here speaks of a spiritual law that we would be wise to observe. He said, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. So you find by losing and you lose by finding. Again, it's hard to, you know, just understand. But, you know, I hear a lot of people talking about finding themselves. You hear such statements as, I need to find myself. But according to Jesus, you need to lose yourself. I think that one of the major problems in our world today is the self-centeredness of man. If you will seek to honestly evaluate and trace the motive behind the things that you do, I think that we would be surprised to realize that behind most of our actions, there is a selfish motive. Even those actions which on the surface may seem to be very magnanimous, if you search deep enough, you will find that behind that charitable act, there is a selfish motivation. I think that most of our prayers are self-centered. Many times we read in the paper of some wealthy individual who has just donated the largest single donation to the university that has been made in history. And we think, my, isn't that wonderful? So interested in education. He gives so many millions of dollars to the university. But so many times you'll find that he wants them to build a science building and name it after him, or establish a scholarship fund in his name, or he wants to make sure that the press is there to get the pictures of him handing the check to the president of the university. And subtly behind what seems to be a very generous and magnanimous gift, there is self. We are by nature self-centered. Look how early in life the child learns to say, mine. They say that birds are territorial, that they establish their territory and will seek to defend their space that they have claimed. Well, I think that all of us are territorial in a way. We want our space, and we don't want our space violated, and we're seeking to protect our space. If you will look at the social problems of today, the problems that we see in marriages usually arise from this self-centeredness. A person says, well, I'm not in love anymore, or I'm just tired of this relationship. It's not satisfying me or not thrilling me or not exciting me any longer. And it's self that leads to the breakup. Take a look at the crime problem. Comes from a person thinking only of themselves. They have a disregard for the needs or the feelings of others. They have no respect for the person or property of others. They do not care for the rights of others. They are only out for themselves. This self-centeredness, seeking to find myself. Jesus said something very similar to what he said here in verse 39. In the 16th chapter, Matthew records how that Jesus, when he made his call to discipleship, said, if any man will come after me, let him first of all deny himself. The first requirement is to get rid of that self-centeredness. Deny himself. Secondly, take up his cross. Thirdly, follow me. And then Jesus said, for whosoever will save his life will lose it. And then whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it, the same as he said here. Sort of emphasizing the point that the way you really find real life is not by finding yourself, but by finding Jesus Christ. And the first requirement for being his disciple is to deny self. Paul the Apostle wrote, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And how beautiful it is, and yet how rare it is, to find a person who has truly denied himself for the cause and the sake of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, follow me. He did set the example. He said that he did not come to do his own will, but the will of the Father who sent him. He said that the works that he did and the words that he said were not his own, but his Father's. Paul tells us he was rich, and yet for our sakes he became poor. He denied himself. Paul speaks of him emptying himself. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and yet he emptied himself. The cross of Jesus Christ stands as the greatest example of selflessness. When he was facing the cross, the prospect of the cross there in the garden, when he prayed, being in great agony, he said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup, the cross, pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you want. And his going to the cross was the classic example of denying self, selflessness. Even here in our text, of losing our lives for his sake, it's spoken of in the context of the cross. For in verse 38, he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Years ago, I was at a pastor's conference in Phoenix, Arizona, when the bishop told us pastors that he realized that competition was carnal. And to use competition as a motivation for people was to be using carnal motivation. But then he went on to say, we must realize that the majority of the people in our congregations are carnal, and thus we must use carnal motivation if we're going to ever get them to do anything. I found myself inwardly resenting what he said. As the years have gone by, I have come to the conclusion that he is probably right in his first statement, but he is wrong in his final conclusion or analysis. I do believe that probably the majority of the congregation are carnal. But I do not believe that we should try to carnally motivate people to do things for the Lord. I think that it is our duty to seek to bring you from carnality into true spirituality. To help you to realize that by living for yourself and living with selfish motives, you're only going to lose it. But if you will just lose your life in Jesus Christ and for Jesus Christ, you'll really discover what living is all about. And rather than coming to the level, a lower level, and ministering on that level, I would rather seek to lift you to a higher level of living and walking after the Spirit. Now, do you resent being thought of as a carnal Christian? Well, let me just put it this way. If we should offer $1,000 for every person you brought to church with you this evening, how many people do you suppose you would have with you tonight? Do you mean to say that you would do for money what you wouldn't do for the love of Jesus Christ? We so often are guilty of deceiving ourselves. Let a man not think more highly of himself, the scripture said, than he ought. It's hard to be honest with ourselves about ourselves. God complained concerning the people in Malachi's day. He said, there's not a one that would shut the doors of the temple or kindle the fires on the altar without being paid. People will do for money what they won't do for just the love of Jesus Christ. But what did Jesus mean by, he that findeth his life shall lose it? He is saying that he that lives only for himself, thinks only of himself, will be the ultimate loser. All of the works that you do through life, all of the accomplishments of life, will burn in the fires that will test our works. They will burn as wood, hay, and stubble. That which you amass for yourself or that which you do for yourself, you'll never be able to take with you. You'll never keep it. You'll lose it in the end. You have only one life. It will soon be passed. And only what you do for Jesus Christ is going to last. You might consider, as you look and evaluate 1993, what true and real sacrifices did you really make for Jesus Christ in 1993? How much of your time sacrificially did you give? How much energy did you expend? How much effort did you make in the causes of Jesus Christ? I only ask these questions to help you to examine yourself, to get an honest look at yourself. For Paul the Apostle said, therefore, let a man examine himself, for if we will judge ourselves, we will not be judged of God. And if you're one of those that are saying, oh, I need to find myself, let me suggest that you seek rather to find Jesus Christ in his fullness. To find yourself will not benefit you or anybody else. But to find Jesus Christ will bring eternal benefits to you and also to others. Because when you begin to look at others through the eyes of Jesus Christ, You will be reaching out to help them and to do for them. And your whole family, your whole neighborhood will be benefited when you find the truth in Jesus Christ. Living for yourself is not gratifying or fulfilling in the end. It will only bring you ultimately misery and emptiness. If you really want to find the deepest meaning in life, you must lose your life for Jesus Christ and in the cause of Jesus Christ. And in so doing, you'll first of all find joy. The greatest joy in life is found through giving, not getting. The fullness of joy comes with sharing. Now, you may receive certain joy from beautiful music, from a colorful sunset, from looking at a beautiful mountain scene, waterfalls and snow-capped mountains. But if you were the only person on the earth, I don't think that that would be too meaningful to you. You see, the beauty is always enhanced when there's someone that you love nearby to share it with. Beautiful music. Yes, I enjoy it, but oh, I enjoy it so much more when I can share it with Kay. Beautiful sunsets are glorious. I love them, but I enjoy them so much more when she's there to enjoy them with me. The sharing comes the fullness of joy. In losing your life for Christ and in Christ, you will find real peace. A person that is seeking to find himself is usually in a disturbed state of mind. In fact, when they say it, they usually say it with agitation. I've got to find myself, you know. A disturbed state of mind. But I'll tell you, if you find yourself, you'll even be worse off. But the person who has lost his life in Jesus Christ has such peace. I'm not in control of my life. I don't want to be. I have surrendered my life to be controlled by the Spirit of God. I know that the Lord does all things well. I know that He is only concerned in what is best for me eternally. And He is looking out after my eternal interest. I'm not interested in going to a doctor who would only treat symptoms. I want him to find out what's causing the symptoms and to treat the cause. If I'm having horrible abdominal pains because my appendix is blocked and it is about to rupture, I don't want him to just give me painkillers so that I don't feel the pain anymore. I want him to take care of that appendix, take it out, or do what's necessary to solve the problem that's causing the pain. Too many people are looking for temporal ease in life. Temporal satisfaction. But down deep inside, there's a cancer of sin that is destroying them. It doesn't matter to me if I have an appendix operation and have to spend a few days in recovery. I know that when I'm recovered, I'm going to be better off. And so, looking at the eternal things, if you seek to save your life, you're only going to lose it. But if you'll lose your life for His sake, you will discover real living. I know that the Lord is working out the details of my life, and He always has the eternal benefits in view. And so I rest in Him, and I rest in my circumstances. He has allowed them. All things are working together for my good. I may not see it or understand it, but I know it. I might not see what He is doing or understand the principle or the things that He is working out, but I know it's for the best. All things are under His control, and He's working them out for my eternal good. So basically, we come again to that place where we have to exercise our power of choice. The choice of one of two alternatives. We can seek to find ourselves and live as though we are the only one that matters. Or we can lose our lives for the sake of Jesus Christ, lose our lives in Him, and in so doing, really discover what real life is all about. So we pray. Father, help us to live by these spiritual principles that You have elucidated for us. Free us, Lord, from self-centeredness, that wanting to have my own way, doing it my way, insisting on my way. And Lord, help us to realize that real life isn't in the abundance of things that we possess, but it's in what we can give away for Your sake. May we seek You with all of our hearts. May we seek to be found in You. Lord, may we truly just lose self in You. And help us to come to that place, Lord, where it is none of self and all of Thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand? Thank you for your prayers for my voice. I know that when we started this morning, you probably were cringing. But your prayers have done a lot of good, and I appreciate them. But I don't want you to feel it doesn't hurt. There's no sore throat. There's just no voice, you know. But I mean, I feel great. I feel wonderful. So you don't feel, oh, poor Chuck, you know. It must be horrible. It's not horrible. It's just not there. So And he has a purpose for that too. So maybe to make you pray, who knows. But anyhow, thank you. And may the Lord just really minister to us in this coming year. The beginning of the year, what a time to say, I'm going to live this year for Christ. Deny self. Take up my cross and follow him. Not seek to save my life, but lose my life in the things of the Lord. And I'll guarantee it'll be the greatest year of your life. Living for Jesus Christ, there's nothing that will equal it.